Valentine's Day. Yep. I don't know where you are, but I'm on a train riding through America. And where are you? Are you in a mansion? A little cardboard box? Or just a nice little house somewhere? It's Valentine's Day, and I hope you have a Valentine. I could be your Valentine, if you'd like. And tonight, we're going to look at the origins. Origins.
You're saying it like Trump said it when that interview, oranges.
I'm looking for the oranges of
Valentine's No Day. More Trump, please. Origins.
Origins.
Origines.
So, you know, I'm a little, you know, it's a little weird, this whole, I'm not from this country, okay? I'm a come of this country when I was a little boy. It's still the stuff that I can't not get down. But we're going to go back to the oranges of Valentine's Day. And now I'm going to turn you over to Dr. Susie.
Okay, well, we're riding a train. And actually, we're not in America. We're in your native country, Prince Max. Of Italy, right outside Rome, and we're heading out to a cave, a very special womb-like cave. Brothers and sisters, pagans and pan-paniscus. Bonobo sapiens, heart-shaped butts, and ancient history nuts. Friends, Romans, countrymen, and women, lend me your ears. I come to bury Valentine's Day, not to praise it. Sorry to mangle Shakespeare, but here's the deal. Valentine's Day is fake news. Concocted by the early Catholic Church, enhanced by Hallmark, sweetened by C's, polished by De Beers, and abetted by Amazon. And all this pricey saccharine fakery is based upon, a sexless fairy tale starring Saint Valentine. You know about Saint Valentine, right, Captain Max?
I certainly do.
Now, I don't know what you know, but of course, being a saint and having been a priest, he was celibate. And he was also arrested for illegally marrying young couples in 4th century Rome when bitter Emperor Claudius decided marriage would make soldiers less bloodthirsty. And he wanted them to be bloodthirsty for Rome, like USA. It was patriotism, so no sex, just violence. And that part is kind of true. But the fake part is the story. While imprisoned, Valentine heals his jailer's blind daughter, and they fall in love. That's the fairy tale of a very pure, sex-free love, the kind that a virgin blind girl might have for a priest sworn to celibacy and bound for execution. Then, so the story goes, before he's beheaded on Valentine's Day, of course, February 14th, the priest leaves the girl a farewell note, which she can now see, thanks to his saintly ophthalmological skills. And it's signed. What do you think it's signed, Max?
I don't know the oranges of that.
Well, it's signed, Your Valentine.
Oh, right, Your Valentine.
Your Valentine, right. Isn't that cute?
That's very cute.
It's a very touching story of chaste ideals, befitting the high holiday of hopelessly romantic love, St. Valentine's Day. But, alas, and alack, a big lack, the ideal is the enemy of the real. Don't you say that, Captain?
That's correct, right?
The ideal is the enemy of the real. And in reality, there were several Christian martyrs named Valentine. And there is no evidence that any of them healed their jailer's daughter or composed a farewell card. Nothing like that. However, the ideal is more marketable than the real, isn't it, Captain Max?
Absolutely. Ideals are very easy to sell.
Yes, Hallmark sells ideals. Right. See's Candy
sells ideals.
I mean, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
All right, all of it.
Toothpaste even sells ideals.
Everything you buy, that you don't absolutely need.
You're going to have white teeth.
Mm.
Okay.
Ideally.
Got it. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is St. Valentine, is he related to St. Valentine, the beer people?
You know what? I mean, he's definitely related to St. Galentine, because there's Galentine's Day, which is the day that the girlfriends get together. So there's that. And I guess when you got the girls celebrating Galentine's Day, the guys would celebrate Valentine's Day? I don't know. I'm being very sexist here. I think I'm going to get into trouble. But something like that is probably...
They were out drinking beer.
Out there guzzling right now.
Go on, Doc.
Okay, so, yeah. So, Valentine's Day, you know, it's it could give you a toothache. It can cost you 12 paychecks. It can drive you nuts. And then there's the St. Valentine's Day massacre that can happen if Valentine's Day doesn't go the way you want it to go. Please, please, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, no Valentine's Day massacres. But I know it's like fraught with mixed feelings and expectations for so many. And I got to say, me too, hashtag. And it's the coronapocalypse, so it's tough to navigate, and everybody's scared and politically divided and sexually suspect. And then there's the hyper-commercialization and the economic inequality and climate change. I don't know. Everything is just a little tough for romance. And I love romance. I mean, we love romance, right?
I'm
wearing
romance.
My Mickey Kiss mini shirt. See?
Aww.
Yeah. And I've got a 28-year marriage certificate, you know, to prove I'm into the marriage thing. And then we already started having a sexy, orgasmic Valentine weekend. I won't go into detail over
it. It was very loud.
So. That was you.
No. That was you.
That was, well, I couldn't hear me. I definitely heard you.
No. don't be blaming that on me.
Well, so hopefully it'll continue to get louder and better and nicer, but you never know. Valentine's Day, yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's great. But, you know, it's always seemed very contrived to me. Kind of like the artificially flavored candy coating of a natural, succulent strawberry. You know?
Oh, say that again. line again?
Is that eargasmic?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of toxic in a way, but, you know. Go Britney Spears. Free Britney Spears. Okay.
Leave Britney alone.
Here we go.
Hi, I'm Britney, and I like that.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, we're rooting for Britney. I'll say it again, because you interrupted
me.
And that was a poetic expression here. The artificially flavored candy coating on a naturally succulent strawberry. That's what Valentine's Day is. And the real juicy fruit is in there somewhere. But this sickly sweet shell kind of disguises and sanitizes and commercializes this fruit beyond recognition. But deep inside this phony, saintly Valentine shell, an exclusive. Valentine's Day is very exclusive. It's all about the two, not the community. But inside that exclusive, saintly, not very sexual Valentine's shell, although you got to have sex on Valentine's Day, but it's somehow not sexy. Well, is the original primal holiday of the heart, with nothing saintly or celibate about it. It is a heartfelt feast for all the senses, including your sense of history.
That's okay. It's okay.
You okay?
I don't have COVID, but I do have weed.
Yes, that's okay. Much better to have weed than COVID. All right, so that was a good sort of drum roll, a coughing drum roll for the name of the original Valentine's Day, which is Lupercalia.
Yay!
So, what is Lupercalia? What is Lupercalia? Well, let me put my sexy professor's glasses on here, okay? Class?
Yes.
Pay attention.
Yes.
No smoking, Mickey.
Yes, I'm not smoking.
Okay.
I'm just playing with myself.
Tommy, stop touching yourself.
Oh.
Well, okay. You can touch yourself since this is radio. Just pay attention. Or else. So, the spirit of Lupercalia is Pan. The great horny horned Greco-Roman god of the wild. Yes, Pan has horns, but no, he is not the QAnon shaman, okay? And I kind of resent the guy for wearing the horns, but I get it, you know. Everybody likes Pan. The Romans called Pan Faunus, like the fauna, the non-human animals, as he himself was half goat. I said goat.
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 Half human, half goat, or half god, half goat. A hybrid. That's right.
You can download this in our library.
For Lupercalia, Pan is called Lupercus very often, but I call him Pan because, well, that's the name that I learned when I was a child, and I really, like, loved the Greek myths because I was looking for something lustier and more earth positive than my Bible, you know? And I thought Pan was really cool because Pan likes to play. And so did I. And, well, the God of the Hebrews, Christians, and Muslims, you know, is kind of a wrathful God. Occasionally a loving God, but never a playful God. No.
Meanie.
He's a meanie, mostly. Every once in a while he's good, but he's never fun. Well, except for when he shows Moses his divine heart-shaped ass. There is a moment where Moses has a revelation and he sees what they call the back of God. But I'm going to say that includes the ass. And it's actually rather Lupercalian, you know, and it would have been even more so if Moses had said, "Nice tush, Lord," and swung a leather strap across the sky like he was flogging the ass of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen and A-women.
And A-women.
Uh-huh. But he didn't do that. It was not such fun. Now, Pan was fun, definitely, and playful, but... You know, later in life, I learned that some of Pan's play involved, okay, this could get us censored, but I'm just talking, and I'm not encouraging this, but some of Pan's play involved bestiality, okay?
Bestiality.
And I found it very gross, awful.
Oh,
when I was a child,
awful.
I had no desire to have sex with my pet cats, my parakeet, or my neighbor's dogs.
No. Only farmers.
Though
do
I
that.
Did let the dog hump my leg. But that was it.
Okay.
I was very, fascinated by Greco-Roman mythology, which is filled with humans mating with gods in the form of bulls and horses and swans and all kinds of creatures. And then, of course, I heard about the lonely real-life goat herds and shepherds making valentines out of their goats and sheep on those long, lonely feeding times. Now, of course, nowadays, we deplore this type of animal abuse, and it is animal abuse. But I have to say that the abuse of non-human animals in our agricultural system is far worse and destructive to our ecosystem. So, do not have bestiality, do not do that, but keep aware that our simple farming system is worse to animals. Non-human animals, that is. And actually the human ones that work there. But let's go back to Pan, you know, because Pan is cool. Pan is also the patron saint of the bonobos, the make love, not war chimpanzees, whose Latin name is actually Pan Paniscus. And... Now, thanks to the Bonobo Project, Valentine's Day is World Bonobo Day. Woohoo! So give to the Bonobo Project. Donate also to Lola Ya Bonobo and Bonobo Conservation Initiative. Save the bonobos. Whatever your feelings about Valentine's Day, you can honor love with the world's greatest lovers, the bonobos. And if there are any non-human animals that embody the spirit of Lupercalian lust, it is the bonobos who swing through the trees as well as with each other and have never been seen killing each other. Okay. So they show us the bonobo way of female empowerment, male well-being, sharing resources. We got to learn how to do that, folks. We got to learn all of this. And loving strangers, you know, we're being pushed together in this world, and we have to get along. And, of course, peace through pleasure. You know, we got to learn that. So World Bonobo Day is today, if you're tuned in live. But you may say, Jesus is king, to which I say, Jesus of the Gospels is very bonobo-esque. He preaches peace and love, freedom for women and slaves, and care for the poor. But the early church was more like the current Republican Senate, actually, and they were more influenced by Paul and Augustine, really, than by Jesus. And they were not very bonobo-esque, and they banned the people's worship of playful Pan, turning him into the devil. Satan. The demonization of Pan. I mean, yeah, Pan was no Catholic priest, and actually, the priests are much worse than Pan, excuse me. But Pan could be beastly, and certainly he would have had the Me Too movement after him. But the church turned Pan into the lowest of the low.
No.
The worst of the worst. And the rest is satanic history. Though here in Bonoboville, every Lupercalia, well, except this one, I try to bring back the spirit of Pan, the god of the wild, and I dress up as Lady Pan, Bonobo Pan, an extension of the Commedia dell'arte characters of Arlecchino and Colombina that I used to play in my post-Yale improvisation troupe, New England Commedia. And here we kind of continue the Commedia dell'arte tradition when we put on Lupercalia with our Commedia erotica Bonoboville players. And they play the different roles of the story of the Lupercalia. And I guess you could say it's kind of a cross between a school play and a burlesque, topped off with a religious, orgiastic experience.
And they can watch this tonight.
Right, tonight. We have one.
Show.
We have one playing tonight.
Right, right.
It's actually Lupercalia 2018. It's one of our most orgiastic, and it's quite political.
It's hot, too.
It's very hot.
Oh, is it hot?
It's 2018, so we're in the thick of the Trumpocalypse.
Like eating hot salsa, your ass gets...
And it's amazing. It's really beautiful.
It's great.
Stars.
Right after this show.
Chef Be Live and right. Danielle Watts.
Right after this show, right?
Yes, right after this show. So and all week we're playing this.
All week we're playing this.
So hopefully one day soon we'll get back to our Bacchanals.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we're here in the cave.
We're in a cave now?
Yes, we're in the cave-like womb room, which is also the womb-like cave of the Lupercal, which is the home of the title character of Lupercalia, the Luper, which is Latin for she-wolf.
Lupo.
Luper. Oh, is Lupo in current Lupe, Italian?
Yeah, Italian.
Oh, okay. In Italian. Yeah, well, so this is Latin. This
La Lupa.
It's the same. So for the past few years, our Luper has been played in fine furry fashion by most well-rounded kinkster, Susie Award winner, sapiosexual art professor, and naturally busty sexpot. Rhiannon Ahrens, who is also starring in Lupercalia 2018 that you can watch right after this show.
And blondes.
Huh?
Oh, a lot of blondes.
Blondes?
Yeah, you know, blonde. Blonde people.
Blonde people? No.
What I'm talking about is blonde porn stars.
Okay, why are you talking about blonde porn stars?
Oh, because you were talking about the people. And I thought, well, okay.
Okay. No, actually, let me think. Are there any blondes in this, Max? No. I mean, there might be a few. Yes, actually, Bratty Wolfie plays a wolf cub in this, and she's kind of dirty blonde like me. So, yeah, but Rhiannon definitely has dark hair, and so does Danielle.
There's another girl there. She's also blonde.
Who was blonde? Oh, yeah.
No, I got to see the video.
Okay. Well, you guys don't know. Don't.
Well, no.
Don't tease me like that.
Okay. No.
I'm sure there were so many people there. It were dozens of pagan celebrants. So I'm sure there were blondes.
It was very nice. That was a very nice show.
So she's the main character. She's brunette. She's a wolf. And the other two main characters are the twins, Romulus and Remus. And they are played in the Lupercalia 2018 by Chef B Live and Danielle Watts. So even though they're twin boys, we sometimes have girls in the parts. And in this case, it's a husband and wife team. So, you know, nothing incestuous about it. It's just the way it is. They're twins. They're the sons of Mars, god of war, and Queen Rhea Silvia, daughter of King Numitor of Alba Longa, who is usually a small part, though in Lupercalia 2019, that you might want to look up on drsusie.tv, she is played by Goddess Phoenix. And that is a tour de force performance from a very small part. Sometimes that happens in film. Now, you'd think that twins of such privilege as Romulus and Remus would be very lucky, but not so much, at least not at first. Shortly after they're born, they're tossed into the Tiber River by their evil great uncle Amulius, played every year by Captain Max.
Sono qui, eh? Sono pronto.
Of course, Max relishes tossing those kids, played by balled up pieces of paper, into the Tiber, which is usually played by Anna and somebody else waving pieces of material. And you curse them in Italian as you throw them into the river. You want to reenact that?
Oh, yeah, sì, 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 come no. E questi ragazzi, questi bambini, sono terribili. Li prendo e li butto nel fiume. E basta, sono morti. E così.
Yeah, so you did that. You think they're going to die, but you're not sure, actually. And it's interesting how they used to do that back then. They used to, like, throw kids in the river. If they didn't want them, they wouldn't actually kill them necessarily.
The river would kill them.
The river usually would, but right. Then again, you didn't know. Sometimes something would happen. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, just in case, mean old great uncle Amulius stole the kingdom of Alba Longa from his daughter-in-law and her dad. Talk about stop the steal. Though this was a real steal. At least according to the myth.
Real steel deal.
Yeah, he stole the kingdom, and then he kind of locked her up and Numitor. But I think they were, you know, locked up at home, you know. So after tossing and turning in the Tiber a bit, Romulus and Remus, who are now played by the real people, and in the case of after this show, it's Chef B Live and Danielle Watts, they are miraculously rescued from drowning by our heroine, the Looper, the wolf. And of course, they're naked. And Danielle and Belive love to be naked. They're pretty much nudists. So it's very natural for them to just come out of the river and go with the wolf, who is at this point Rhiannon, wearing her wolf mask and her fur collar, and she pulls down her top, revealing her large, natural tits. Or, since she's a wolf, I guess, teats.
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 Right.
The crickets.
The crickets are...
Crickets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're stopped now. The trains had to stop.
Yes.
When the train had a little problem with it.
Okay.
So everybody's out here in the fields with the cows and not the boar, the wild
the ox. It is Chinese year of the ox.
Bunch of oxes out here.
I like that year of the ox.
Yeah, they're very nice.
Because it's like O-X, kisses
yeah, right.
And hugs.
Oh, it is, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. O-X, hug and kiss. So for my great Himalayan ox story, tune into last week's show, our fantasy tailgating show.
And if you want to meet, look on her page on the site, Susan.
If I want to meet, look on her page on the site, Susan. I had to repeat that one.
That was very good. The person you're talking about, I have short-term memory.
You mean short-term memory loss.
Loss.
Hey, shout out to Jux Lee. He's in the chat room.
Hi, Jux.
One of our favorite photographers. He takes a lot of great... He was there at the Lupercalia show.
He's at almost all the Lupercalia shows. And he played Romulus one year. Actually, it was a great year. He played Romulus when Bambi was Remus.
Bambi.
Yes, Bambi. Hot Bambi. Bambi's so hot. And she actually was... posting an old Lupercalia post on Facebook today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I felt so bad because, of course, I'm in Facebook jail. Hello, censorship, folks. Yeah. listen to our other shows if you want to hear about how we're being censored unjustly.
Can you get off the train?
A post from 12 years ago.
Where are the crickets?
We hear the crickets. I hear the crickets.
Oh, I don't hear crickets.
Yeah, I don't know why he keeps asking for crickets, because they're here.
Oh, they're here?
Yeah, so.
They're just very in the
No, I hear them loud and clear.
Really? I don't know how to hear
I think
them.
You have short-term hearing loss, too. Hopefully it's short-term.
That's pretty short-term.
Okay.
But that's what it is when you lose your memory, and you get old like me, and you don't remember. It's always good to not to remember things.
So I'm sorry, Jux, that I can't write to you on Facebook, which I actually can never do because I'm always doing the show. But sometimes I write a little something, but I'm in jail. So all I can do is send notes through the guards.
Yeah.
Anyway, should I get back to the story?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Back to the cave where our Looper takes our young heroes. And suckles them. Jux really liked the suckling part, I remember. Rhiannon, I think that was her first year. Or was that when Dayton Rains was the... She was the Looper one year.
Yeah, Dayton. Well,
she had some big teats right there. But, you know, they're artificial, like, but nice, big.
Double D.
Huge. Gigantamous, right.
Yeah, big.
Quite a nurturing suckler. So there's all this suckling going on, and I just kind of think it's because those Tuscan shepherds got their calcium straight from the teat. I'm not recommending that. But I do want to say that the myth of babies, humans, being raised by wolves is not so far-fetched, because some children really have been raised by wolves. And yeah, usually they're pretty messed up, but sometimes they're kind of better off than when they're raised by abusive parents who shoot them. I mean, they're definitely better off than that, so it's all relative. Anyway, the word looper in Latin is connected to the word lupa in Latin, which was slang for prostitute, a.k.a. sex worker. Okay?
Really?
Yes. And that actually explains a lot, including all that suckling, I think. Ultimately, we see that the savior of Lupercalia, the looper, the wolf, who saves our heroes from death and nurtures them into a healthy life, is a lupa, a sex worker. So really, Valentine's Day is Sex Workers' Day. That's just one of the truths of Lupercalia. But it's an important truth to remember, because we always think of it as, oh, you got to be in love, you can't do this through a sex worker. Well, hey, the original Lupercalia honors a sex worker, the wolf. So... yeah, Romulus and Remus, more into oral passion than passionate oratory, are nurtured by the she-wolf, the sacred whore of the original Valentine's Day, the great wolf MILF of ancient Rome. And actually, real wolves are very nurturing mothers, and sex workers are also, I think, usually nurturing, because they are giving their clients, usually, especially the ones that, you know, are into it because they like it. They're not being trafficked. They're doing it as a calling. They're not just giving their clients sex, but also love. And certainly compassion and if they're really good, understanding. So save the wolves and decriminalize sex work. Now. Anyway, back to our story. Grown-up Romulus and Remus return to Alba Longa to kill their mean old great uncle Amulius. That's you, Captain Max. You're going to die now. You're in a death scene.
Mi vogliono ammazzare. Perché? Cosa ho fatto? Non ho fatto niente. Ho buttato I bambini nel fiume. Va bene, okay.
All right.
È parte della storia, no?
You stole their kingdom, so they give it back to their granddad, Numitor. And of course, you know, here in Bonoboville, we do not reenact the killing. We do a symbolic whipping of someone.
Yeah, we throw some paper on the floor.
That's the children that you're throwing.
Oh, that's the kids.
This is another scene, right? Okay. So in this scene, we whip someone, and usually it wouldn't be you, because I know you don't like to be whipped.
I do not like to
But we would often whip a Trump surrogate.
Oh, that's fine.
Human or doll.
Terrific.
Okay. So then Romulus and Remus go off and discover Seven Hills, where they begin to build a new city that they plan to rule together as brothers. Aww. Isn't that sweet?
Good luck.
Happy ending. No. These boys are sons of Mars, not bonobos, so they fight. And by fight, we mean fighting in the Trumpian sense, not the Liz Warren sense or whatever other sense. Yeah, they fight. They fight about a wall, okay? Sound familiar? Yeah. And suddenly, in a fit of sibling rivalry, like Cain killing his brother Abel in the Judeo-Christian Bible, Romulus kills his brother Remus. Yeah, the Judeo-Christian Islamic Bible, I should say. That part of the Bible is also part of the Quran. Fratricide is a recurring theme among all the ancients, both pagans and monotheists. And it's something, it's an unfortunate thing that happens. Very unfortunate. But again, being bonobo-esque, we do not kill anyone in Bonoboville. Instead, our Romulus might wrestle our Remus. We've had some wrestling matches that are very sexy. Or flog Remus. That's the typical thing we do. Until Remus basically rolls over and plays dead. And then Romulus immediately regrets killing his brother. He's sorry. Unlike Trump, he's a good politician.
Oh, you raised me.
But, it doesn't take too long. He doesn't lose much sleep before founding the city of both of their dreams and naming it Rome after himself.
Ah.
Conveniently forgetting all about his beloved brother. Otherwise, Rome would be called Reem.
I'm glad it's
And romance
Rome.
Would be called Remance. And the Vatican would be the capital of the Reeman Catholic Church. And Audrey Hepburn and Gregory Peck would go on a Reeman holiday.
And there would be a remix.
Well, okay.
History.
There you go.
That was a good one.
Now it's a Romix.
Right.
Right. Romix.
Not,
not
like
a remix.
I like the Roman hand thing, and I,
Poor Remus.
I like that I invented everything.
Basically, since hunter-gatherer time, since agriculture, which is the big problem here, history has been written by the winners. It's been a competition, always a competition between brothers. That's right. And somebody dies and somebody's stepped on. And the killers are the ones that usually write history or hire somebody to do it. But they might at least have some regret. You should at least say you're sorry, Trumps. No. But anyway, Romulus, he's the winner. And we call it Rome. But Remus is not completely gone. No. His spirit lives on in a college fraternity That's right.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. The Lupercae fabi, as does Romulus in the Lupercae quintilii. And as time passes, these two fraternities made up of young, nearly naked Roman frat boys. Gosh, sounds like Yale, right? Anyway, they meet at the Ides of February, right? You've heard of the Ides of March, but these are the Ides of February, meeting in the dark, womb-like cave of the Lupercal, where the great she-wolf sex worker, Luper Lupa, once suckled and loved their twin great-great-great-great-grandfathers, and where her lupine spirit still resides. And in the primeval cave, the naked frat brothers and their priestly leaders honor the great goat god Pan by sacrificing a goat. And actually, according to the legend, they also sacrifice a dog, but that's too gross. So don't worry, Chico. We won't sacrifice you. We just sacrifice the goat. Played by one of our guests, usually with a consensual flogging. And then the high priest, who was probably very high, would mark their foreheads with the blood of the sacred beast, the goat. And in Bonoboville, well, I use blood red lipstick instead of goat's blood because that's kind of messy. And I might draw a heart or an X or a flower or a penis on your forehead. And yeah, it looks very cult-like, but believe me, we're not a cult. Well, you don't have to believe me. You just have to check us out. But back to the history. The Lupercalians would laugh, and of course we would laugh too, and eat goat. No, we don't usually eat goat. They would get drunk, and so would we, on winter wine. And then the least drunk among them would cut strips from the goat skin, making sexy little loincloths that would just barely cover their crotches.
Oh.
So sexy.
Oh, no.
And they also cut leather strips into whips they called februa. And yes, class, that's where we get our name for the month of
February.
Very good, Mickey.
Thank you.
You get a gold star.
Oh, God.
Kiss on the cheek and the other cheek and the other cheek.
And the cheek here and the cheek there. Mwah.
February, yes. And our February are made by Jux Lee of Jux Leather. He's a sponsor of Lupercalia, really.
By the way, you can see a lot of his photography in our magazines.
He's multi-talented. He also makes edibles.
Yeah, oh yeah, he does. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, thus equipped and inebriated on cannabelli, no, on wine, but, you know, maybe they did actually smoke something. The Lupercae sprinted out of their womb-like cave of the Lupercal, laughing and howling like wolves, racing through the hills and villages on their way to Rome, wielding their goatskin februa like virile young cupids with whips instead of arrows, gaily whacking the hands and the backs and the behinds of willing women, also drunk, looking for luck or love or maybe a baby. Mm-hmm. And they would also whack men, too. It was consensual, at least mostly consensual. You know, they were drunk, so I'm sure there were some mishaps, but it was mainly consensual. People believed that such sacred Lupercalian whacks stimulated fertility in barren women and virility in listless men. Now, it's not as scientific as an IVF clinic, but you can't doubt that spanking can be an aphrodisiac, and Lupercalia did whip the populace into a frenzy of sex, and sometimes created a Roman baby boom at harvest time. And yes, we do reenact the flogging fest that turns into an orgy in Bonoboville. Every year, really, since I think like 2009, or we kind of gradually started to do that. We found out about it in 2008, I think, but I had to go to Yale that year for Sex Week at Yale, and then we came back and we started doing Lupercalia, and it just got lustier and lustier.
I have good memories.
I have good memories.
Well, that too.
And that's a big part of Lupercalia. The memories.
A big part
the
of
teats.
Why I'm alive.
The wolf nurturing. The lupa suckling. Yes, yes. So, yeah, whether for procreation or recreation or just relationships in the community, all that public whipping and fornication was a lot sexier than a paper Valentine or a chocolate candy or a diamond or a yacht. Well, maybe not a yacht. I mean... We'd have to have a party on the yacht. If it's just a yacht for the two of you. No, this was an orgy, and it was a little too orgiastic for the church, which by the end of the 5th century not only made Lupercalia illegal, but turned Pan into the devil and branded the horny old Lupercalian and all communal sacred sex as satanic. And they still do. And we still do. And they plunked Saint Valentine's Day down on the same date as the old Lupercalia because the people wanted some kind of holiday. They needed something. So they got the Feast of the Saint Valentine, appropriating the red color of goat's blood as its signature shade with white for the milk. I'm not sure whether that's the goat or the wolf, maybe the wolf's milk that nurtured Romulus and Remus. And they also turned Cupid, who was Eros to the Greeks, who's generally portrayed as a sexy, virile young man with wings. That's Cupid or Eros in Greek and Roman mythology for the most part. But the church turned Cupid or Eros into the sexless baby Cupid that only a pedophile could find erotic. So, that wasn't very nice, church. Eros is really like one of the Luperci, one of the young men who is so turned on, so full of sexual energy. That's Eros, not a baby. I mean, not to say we're not all sexual from birth to death and maybe other times too, but still, the high point of sexuality, the most obvious point, is the young man and, of course, his mom, the older woman, Venus, Aphrodite.
Older women.
She was born full form. She was never a baby because, sex is mainly for adults, not babies. So that wasn't very nice to turn Cupid into a baby. But anyway, that's what's that.
And now he can't have sex.
No, exactly. Exactly. Now he can't have sex.
Okay.
He just has to fly around, right, you know, right. Look cute. Okay.
Look
so
cute.
Another Valentine's Day symbol that is Lupercalian in origin, I think, is the classic Valentine heart. Really, think about it. It looks nothing like the cardiac organ that beats in our chests. What it does look like is a well-whipped, heart-shaped ass. I don't mean no Democrat. I mean donkey. I mean, you know, a butt. A nice butt. That's what a heart is, a nice butt. Or maybe the teats. I don't know. I think it's the butt, though, because it's red. It's well, the red butt.
It depends. If you're in the two things, then that's what you're into. If you're in the other thing, then you think it's the other
thing. It's one thing or the other. And I agree that, you know, the anthropologists say that actually chimpanzees developed boobs to resemble butts, that the females kind of went, hey, I want to look at you when we make love, honey. You keep looking at my butt? I'm going to put my butt on my chest, and you're going to like it and want to look at me while we make love. And bonobos have boobs. Happy World Bonobo Day. Bonobo females
have
big boobs, not the common chimps.
When you get older, you get big boobs.
Well, then there's that. Okay.
The man boobs.
You would come up with that. I'm talking about, you know, yeah. Well,
it's a concern that older people have.
It is a concern.
Yeah.
But you know what I say?
Your
enjoy it.
Get
I say enjoy it.
Sure.
A lot of men develop a lot of sensitivity in their nipples as they get older that they don't have when they're young cupids.
Right.
That young virile guy, he's really strong in the testosterone,
nipples, okay.
Penis, you know, that kind of thing. But no, you ain't touching my nipples. No. They don't like that. But as they get older, they develop this hotline between the nipples and the junk.
Yeah.
You light up my junk when you twist my nipples. I think that Lupercalia has got something to do with the mammaries and the memories, but it's really about whacking that butt. And the church sugar-poisoned lusty Lupercalia with the forced romance of Valentine's Day. But we have brought it back from the annals. I mean, the annals?
Yeah.
Of prehistoric Rome to the annals. The anal of hot heart-shaped asses. And that's, you know, what we're here for. Floggers, not flowers, is our battle cry. And it's not just in Bonoboville. I noticed I was hashtagging it like last year or the year before when I'd hashtag Lupercalia. Only Bonoboville would come up. But now it's all over the world, really. It's so popular. It's the people want Lupercalia.
And you've been talking about it for such a long time. And
for about 12 years.
Yeah. Conspiracy to spread the word.
You know, but it's thousands of years old. So
yeah, of course.
I'm part of the gospel of Lupercalia, spreading the gospel. And I do feel it is connected to World Bonobo Day because both put us humans in touch with our animal nature. And it's very important that we do that. And for the most part, modern Valentine's Day is the opposite. It takes us away from our animal nature and makes our sexuality into something candy-coated and artificial.
Artificial
and materialistic, exactly. It's all about what you can spend. Now, maybe this Valentine's Day will not be so much like that because you can't buy too many things.
Well, I mean, commerce goes on.
Well, that's true. But you can't go too many places.
You can't go too many, but you can go to any site, even our own site, and find stuff on it. Right?
Well, you can. Right. You can find all the diamonds and the candy and the sex toys. Hey, if you're going to do gifts, sex toys, come on. Do the vibrator, do the dildo. We got it all. And the glass dildos are some of the best.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Dr. Block's Pleasure Shop.
And art.
Art.com.
Art, yeah.
Lots of art.
I mean, give
art. Lots of art.
you know, it might be a little late for Valentine's Day 2021. We don't know when you're listening to this, but...
It's never too late to...
express your love.
It's never too late to spend some money on art and make your house way nicer.
We're socialists in a capitalist world. What can we say? We got to sell some shit.
You might impress a special lady in your life.
And we got shit to sell. Okay?
We do.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have paddles and whips and floggers?
We have affiliates.
We do. We have affiliates that sell all of that. So check us out because you need to get a flogger.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just put it this way. I was talking to a guy today that says, I don't want to be flogged. I don't want to be hurt. But I want to be submissive and I like to be spanked. I said, well, do you know what flogging is? He really didn't. Flogging feels so good. I mean, unless you're using a cat of nine tails. Flogging is like a trip to the spa. It really...
Is that right?
Yes. All yes.
Right. No, no, I didn't.
Yeah, you've got paranoia, Captain Max.
No, I'm not paranoid, no.
I'll give you a good flogging. Soft, deer skin leather strands against your naked ass. It feels so good. And listen... this is not for you because you have a Valentine, but I always say it's better to have your buns beaten consensually on Lupercalia than your heart broken badly on Valentine's Day. Though I love romantic love. I do.
You know, me too. Did you see the Valentine's card I did for you?
The Valentine's card you did for me. Yeah. Oh, you mean the what's on the show?
Yeah, right.
That's my Valentine's card.
Yeah.
Yes, the poster. Yeah. I see. You're right. Yeah. I love you, Susie Block.
See, and I was so stoned I could hardly take out all of this stuff.
Will you be my Valentine? Right. You traced all around my mane of hair. That was on a Valentine's Day that we shot that picture.
Oh, was it?
In a hotel. Yeah. We were staying somewhere in Venice Beach. Abe was not in that room, but we had dinner.
With Al.
No, Ron Jeremy, though.
Ron Jeremy.
Ooh, I wonder how Ron's
was
doing.
Dead
poor
already.
Ron. Happy Valentine's Day.
Poor guy. Al, I love you.
Al, okay. Well, I got an Al Goldstein story, just, too.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Because you know who just passed away? Larry Flint.
And you know what?
What?
I'm one of them last standing.
You're standing, right. He is of your generation. Yeah, he was a little bit older than you.
Yeah.
But he was the publisher of Hustler magazine, just in case you live on... It would have to be another planet. But he was also, perhaps you don't know, a First Amendment rights fighter. And not in the sense of storm the Capitol, okay? But fighter in the sense of going to court and winning instead
and winning,
of losing.
And fighting. And
right, fighting and winning in court. Yeah. I got to read you this Campari ad. It's very funny.
Campari?
Well, he did a parody of a Campari ad.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
The Campari ads, I forget, were they something about your first time?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is Jerry Falwell talks about his first time. Okay. Falwell. My first time was in an outhouse outside Lynchburg, Virginia.
Great.
Interviewer. Wasn't it a little cramped? Falwell. Not after I kicked the goat out. See, it's connected to Lupercalia, right? So, interviewer. I see. You must tell me all about it. Falwell. I never really expected to make it with Mom. But then after she showed all the other guys in town such a good time, I figured, what the hell? Interviewer, but your mom? Isn't that a bit odd? Falwell, I don't think so. Looks don't mean that much to me and a woman. Interviewer, go on. Falwell, well, we were drunk off our God-fearing asses on Campari. See, this is the advertisement here. Ginger ale and soda... That's called a fire and brimstone at the time. And Mom looked better than a Baptist whore with a $100 donation. Interviewer, Campari and the Crapper with Mom. How interesting. Well, how was that? Falwell, the Campari was great, but Mom passed out before I could come. Interviewer, did you ever try it again? Falwell, sure. Lots of times, but not in the outhouse. Between Mom and the shit, the flies were too much to bear. Interviewer, we meant the Campari. Falwell, oh yeah, I always got sloshed before I go out to the pulpit. You don't think I could lay down all that bullshit sober, do you? Campari, you'll never forget your first time. Ad parody, not to be taken seriously, it says. Okay. So, yeah, so Falwell sued him.
Sued him, correct.
And he won, basically, or something. I mean, I know he had to struggle with it.
What he actually went to prison for.
He did go to prison, right, though, yeah.
For contempt.
Yeah, that was different.
Had nothing, right.
This was a lawsuit.
Right.
It wasn't something he could go to prison for. He would just have to pay.
He showed up, which I think is absolutely cool. He showed up wrapped in American flags.
Yeah, like a diaper.
Yeah.
Or was it a diaper? It was a diaper like American flag or something.
But it was certainly not the usual protocol. So
he was held in contempt, and so were you.
Yes.
But you didn't go to jail for that? No.
I went for conspiracy.
Conspiracy, the C words.
Yeah,
right.
It's conspiracy. If you got nothing else on them, it's a conspiracy. You were sitting at home thinking.
Yeah. So anyway, he was a freedom fighter because, after all, he could have just paid Jerry Falwell because it wasn't that much money. But he fought for the freedom to be able to make parodies, which we are always doing. And so we're grateful that we can do that. But you know what? Now we're censored by YouTube and Facebook. Right. For our speech. So it's a whole different ball game.
And there's no court.
No. Not in those places.
There's no judge?
No. This is our public spaces. This is now the commons. YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. It's kind of weird, but it is what's going on.
It's digital capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Especially during the coronapocalypse when it's kind of dicey going out there to the usual public spaces. So, yeah, R.I.P., and I mean rest in peace. Not that rest in power that just so annoying. Okay, Larry Flint. And he also took a bullet for interracial sex because he had just done, I guess, a spread with a black and white couple.
Yeah.
And this guy who was a maniac shot him because he was a white supremacist who couldn't handle it. And
that's crazy.
It was harrowing, and he survived.
I heard that in Pasadena, they had an area where they allowed interracial marriages or interracial couples. So a lot of interracial people went to interracial couples.
Were they allowed?
What, do they got a swing club out there?
No, I mean, this was back in the 30s,
1930s.
Haven.
1930s.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about 2020. Yeah.
We're talking about like the 70s. Yeah. This was not quite that.
Al Capone also had a huge property
segregated.
Here that one time I really wanted to like have.
Yeah, but it was kind of segregated. I mean, and Larry Flint kind of did his part to desegregate. And he was almost assassinated. So I met him a few times. You were there when we had dinner with him and Al Goldstein and his nurse wife. And he was kind of quiet. Al did most of the talking, as I recall.
As he always did.
Yes.
Which is okay.
Because Al was, I think, paying. He invited Larry and us. And he kind of had this table at some Beverly Hills place.
And all of these people are kind of another level of the I have to burp in a minute. Another level.
Oh, wait for it.
Because I had some Coke with vodka in it. Excuse me. Okay. So, great. It's great. Great story. I like that story.
I also saw him at a few Hustler store events. Shout out to Stan Kent, who hosted erotica discussions there.
Right.
I mean, Larry did some cool things. See the People versus Larry Flint. Did you see that with me?
Yes.
We have the poster. Woody Harrelson, Milos Forman, your fellow Czech.
But we have a Czech version of it.
We do, and it's, it was directed by a Czech guy.
Right. And it's him nailed to a cross.
Yeah,
naked.
Nailed to a cross. And it was a great movie. Althea is played by Courtney Love.
But they wouldn't allow it here to have that poster.
What, so kinky. Somebody on a cross?
Kind of looks like the Jesus jackhammer.
Naked. It's in the hallway.
He's not naked. He's wearing a...
Well, a rag.
February.
Are you talking about the Willie Harrison?
A loincloth. He's wearing what Jesus wears. Yeah. Come on.
It's out
you guys.
There, right?
He's covered up his jewels.
But he's like on her pussy or something.
Her pussy?
How do
we get there?
Okay. You know what? Pussy is something that was said for the first time, I think, in the United States Congress.
We sound like Howard Stern or something.
Yes. Pussy. What's wrong with
pussy?
No,
pussy's good. Pussy's good.
But it wasn't said in a nice way. It was said in an even less nice way than grab her by the pussy, which is already pretty bad on Trump's part. But I hate when men use the term pussy as an insult.
Oh, no.
You
no,
pussy. No. You want to be a patriot or a pussy? Trump said that to Pence. Oh. And that was what our wonderful Congressman Ted Lieu said. And even more to the point, he said, President Donald J. Trump ran out of nonviolent options to retain power. So, you have your motive, ladies and gentlemen of the non-jury. How can we have a jury here? How can we find a man guilty by people who are also guilty? So, of course, we did not. And if you're tuned in live, it's happened today. The Trumpus, the Trumposity, the Trumpenstein, the Cheeto Mussolini has been... found not guilty, Trumpty Dumpty. They put him back together again, although the cracks are showing. He's found not guilty of insurrection, of whatever they accused him of. So you see why I hate Valentine's Day? There's always something, okay? So this was their Valentine gift to us. Anyway.
Wow. That was very, very good, Doctor.
What was good?
I think we're going to make a series of historical discussions with an alter view of what really happened.
Yeah, these Trumpublicans really need a Lupercalian whipping with the cat of nine tails. But I'm afraid they would enjoy it too much.
And they are dangerous to my personal life, which is not something that I really like and I have never liked.
Yeah, they're not good on every level. I mean, the Democrats have their faults, you know, but when you contrast Republican stupidity with Democratic timidity, I will take the timidity. And honestly, you know, Joe's been doing okay. I'm pissed that he still wants to go after Julian Assange. Okay, stop it, Joe. Free Assange. But there are some other ways. You know, he's making some headway there, I guess. So I also want to say rest in peace to Rennie Davis, one of the Chicago 8, or, well, also the Chicago 7. Mm-hmm. And a true bonobo-esque peacenik who was wrongly portrayed in Aaron Sorkin's Chicago 8 movie that had him punching a bailiff. So, so fake. Talk about fake news. I mean, and the left does it, the so-called left. I don't guess as much as the right, but enough to be annoying. A better film, I think, but I don't know, because I don't know all the details. I know a few more details about the Chicago 8. and 7. But Judas and the Black Messiah, very intense movie. Seems real. I don't know.
These poor guys were being put on trial. Everybody else was like being cool and getting laid and growing.
Well, actually, Fred Hampton was getting laid quite a bit before he got killed.
That's one of the reasons you want to be a revolutionary.
Gotta get laid. And it definitely did portray the revolutionary romance. That was part of it.
Extraordinary.
I know what it's like to fall in love with a revolutionary. It's very compelling. It'll take you through the tough times, through prison,
through disasters repression. You never want to live through, never, ever.
Or not. Maybe sometimes it doesn't take you through
that. Or if you do, just smile.
Took me through that.
Just smile.
And here I am, Valentine.
Keep on working.
Yeah, baby.
Keep on living. Fuck the work. That work stuff is tough. Yeah.
Right.
Tough.
So what I think we should just go over everything we are celebrating tonight.
And selling.
We are 1 hour and 14 minutes in.
1 hour and 14, so we have 45.
No, we have 15.
Oh, 15.
15 if we want to do half.
Your short-term memory can't add either.
Or if we want to do a two-hour show, then we do got 45.
I think we should do shorter things.
Shortening
bread.
I don't know anything about numbers.
Juck says wilf. What is wilf?
A wilf is like a wolf milf, I think. A wolf I'd like to fuck? Okay. No.
Don't ever say
bestiality.
Don't ever
Please.
Say that word.
No.
You got to explain yourself, Juck.
You know, I'm afraid we're going to get censored because I just say the word. Even though I'm saying no, don't
dumb
do
bots.
It. These are dumb bot drones.
Yeah.
That drone you down, and mostly you are innocent. They know not what they do. They rarely get the right culprit.
You haven't been.
Sometimes.
Not being.
Maybe the really famous ones. But mostly it's collateral damage of people that are not so famous, like me. You know, who just does a little show.
All of us.
Yeah.
Remember, you know, they can block anything they want. It's their property. We're just serfs moving along, you know.
Yeah, we're on their plantation.
That's correct.
I guess, you know, we have our own little farm, drsusanblock.com. Yeah. And, of course, we've got other farms, you know, bonoboville.com.
Those aren't firms. Those are just...
They're farms or firms or... I don't know. But, you know, we're also hunter-gatherers. We go from our stuff to their stuff. Then they shut us down and we have to move along.
Yeah, like we're not Romas either.
Romas from Rome.
From Rome.
Gypsies,
right.
Yeah, maybe they're the original Lupercals.
Gypsies. Gypsies are hot.
Hot. Sexy.
Right there, actually, you can see the gypsies in that painting.
I shouldn't be, you know, stereotyping a whole culture, but somehow
I
feel like it's sexy. Something sexy.
It's sexy. Okay.
I know the gypsies have been tormented, discriminated against.
So Jux wrote back, he said, it's a wolf milf.
Yes, that's wolf. We figured that out. We did.
All right, confirmed.
Okay. So what else is there? Definitely would pass time decriminalized. Right. Save the wolves and decriminalize sex work. That's the main message of Lupercalia for 2021. But there are other messages, as we said. And it is Lupercalia. It is Valentine's Day. It is Chinese New Year of the ox. The ox. Do we have an ox sound? Moo.
What does an ox sound like? Anybody know?
Well, a cow is kind of an ox. I think ox is that kind of thing. Anyway.
Not like
It is also... Oh, what do we got?
Here we go.
constantly get your paws on a sweeper.
No. That's the wrong thing.
Clean your dog. No, clean your floor.
Okay. It is also Galentine's Day. Okay.
What happened?
Which
to
is
that?
Girlfriends for Valentine's Day
and
do
only,
Galentine's
only
Day.
Girls can go?
I don't know. I think if you identify as a girl, you can go in some way.
If you're wearing
pink sneakers, for instance, that's probably why Abe's
got
on
there.
The pink sneakers, then he can be a girl.
I'd be right there.
I think there's some open identification there.
I don't know. What does it mean to be able to be in a Galentine?
I think if you can get other people to say yes, happy Galentine's Day to you, if it's a communication thing, then you're part of it. It was a TV show creation, and then it became a regular thing. And I know they say it on Twitter, and actually some ladies go out together, have ladies' night for Galentine's Day.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, do I like that?
Yeah.
You know, I'm seeing people on Instagram. I'm following some people, and they're posting pictures of all these women wearing lingerie and
yeah. It's like the boys are trying to check out what the girls are doing on Galentine's Day.
Actually, Galentine's Day celebration.
We're just wearing our big socks and.
Yeah, you can wear anything. Some people are turned on by Bobby socks.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You see a girl with Bobby socks, you go, oh my hell, you.
Anyway, I'm all for it. I think it's very bonobo to celebrate Galentine's Day because it kind of stretches out that minimal definition of Valentine's Day, which that's what I always had the problem with. It's just about, you know, couples. And Galentine's Day says you also have your girlfriends or I guess your boyfriends or your gender fluid friends, your friends. I think Galentine's Day is really about your friends.
Yeah.
And then it is also National Tortellini Day.
Io non ho mai sentito di questa festa. È una festa. Il mio italiano si sta crumbling. My Italian is crumbling.
Okay, well, I wouldn't know. So.
No, I know. But
I just think it sounds sexy.
It's very nice. So it's all very good.
Get your man to speak another language.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if he really speaks it well. You won't know. I guess you can get your woman to do that too, or your gender fluid person.
It's Italian music.
Or get them to just play Italian music. Oh, that would get me to leave, I think. No, please stop it.
What's the matter? So, you don't like my music.
Happy Year of the Ox.
What's wrong with you? I didn't know that before we were married.
Hug, kiss.
Always
laugh. Air hug. You got an air hug from the guy that had mentioned your voice.
No, I like that.
That's nice. That's kind of a Galentine's Day
thing.
You have
a permanent air flow
of
things coming to you.
And so it's also World Bonobo Day, of course, so it's a good time to get maybe a World Bonobo
You know
item.
Anything about oxes?
That's an ox.
That's the ox.
That's an ox. What do you know
about the ox and the bonobo should be a good story that somebody can make up.
But if you
about
ever,
the bonobo riding the ox.
Have you ever interacted with an ox?
I have. Yes, I told the story of running through fields of ox poop and monsoon, probably some fish and swamplands as I was tripping literally both ways through the Himalayas.
I can imagine you were tripping.
It was a bad monsoon and I was surrounded by water buffalo who are a form of oxen, and I say who because you really feel their spirits when you're with them. And I spent a lot of time with them in different ways when I was in the Himalayas. But this time it was kind of scary because they are very large creatures and they were running. When I'd seen them before, they were just still, but this time they were running.
Oh, that's scary.
It was very scary, except they were still very gentle, peaceful creatures.
They and never horned you?
No, in fact, I felt like they took me.
They were not horny?
Well, they did have horns. They do. That's one thing. They have horns.
The question
these
is,
oxen.
Did they put the horn anywhere to where it wasn't supposed to be?
No.
They're very gentle. They're very gentle.
They were gentle creatures, and I was afraid that they would. I didn't think of it as horning me. I thought of it as goring me, like a bull.
Ah.
You know, because they look like bulls.
Yeah.
You know, and their horns are pointy, and they could gore you, actually.
Right.
But they are very, very calm. At least these guys were. And they took me to my hotel, literally. And then they went on their way.
Wait a minute. Who took you to the ox?
The oxen. Many oxen. Yes.
They took you to your hotels?
O-X-E-N. Yes.
How did they do that?
Well, this was a hotel in the mountains, literally in the mountains. And there were little houses, you know, in the mountains in Nepal, they're villages.
The
roads go through villages and the oxen just go right up to the road. Or they sometimes cross the road.
So they're like people that need a hotel room and they bring them up to the hotel, the oxen?
Sometimes they do. They certainly did that for me. And that saved my life.
Yeah, they have that all over the world.
Because that was terrible monsoon that killed a lot of people. And ruined a lot of buildings. And so I just feel that the year of the ox could be a good one. And maybe that's a bad feeling when you feel like it could be good. Because after all, I thought the year of the rat was going to be great. And it was, in a way, but it was kind of ratty. So now we have the year of the ox, and the ox is a peaceful creature.
That's an ox.
Yeah, that's an ox.
Wow, that's an ox.
It's like a cow. I ran with the water buffaloes.
They're
almost like a bison.
Hemingway ran with the bulls in Spain.
I like their voice.
Okay, running with the bulls is nothing compared to running with the water buffalo.
No.
Right.
I wouldn't be running with no water buffaloes.
It was fun. It was cool. It was scary. I thought they were going to kill
me. Leave me out of it. I thought they were going to trample me, actually.
But they kind of let me have my room because I couldn't run really as fast as them. But there were so many of them that some of them kind of accompanied me and my friend. I was actually with a couple of people.
How many oxes were there? Oxen?
It felt like there was like 50 of them. I don't know, though. I was tripping, man. I don't know.
There was five.
Maybe there was five. Right. It could have been five.
I felt like that.
It's raining really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard. Middle of the day, though, so you could see. But total blankets of water coming down. So, oxen.
You were running with the oxen.
I was running with the oxen. I wish somebody filmed it, but we didn't do that back then.
No.
Didn't. Now you got to live in the moment. When those times, you got to live in the moment and really.
I did a lot of that.
You got no time to take a selfie. Like, you know. That's what's wrong with this generation.
Well, you could take a selfie.
I'll be right back.
You could. I could see how you could. And then you might get trampled.
Yeah. You're slow. Very easily. You slow down.
You stop to, you know, get a good shot. And those oxen, they would accidentally trample you because they're in a hurry. You know, I went with the rhythm of the oxen.
Yeah, you got to follow the pace of the oxen, right?
And for that, you can't be filming, you know, I think, unless you're an expert. So I think people do learn that these days out there in the wild. And that's where you have your selfie suicides. It's tragic. I understand you want to take a picture, but if you're going to really experience life, maybe that's what you should do. Just experience it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Women.
Amen.
All right. So Now, I want you to assume the position for a Lupercalian whipping, which could also be the position for making beautiful Valentine love. You know the position.
So we got a message from Soldier 9356. He said he's listening from Long Beach, California. And then he says, dig what you do, Dr. Susie.
But so. Are you assuming the position?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you dig down there in Long Beach.
Say what he said, what's going on?
Well, you know, a lot is going on. There's all these holidays. Valentine's Day, Galentine's Day, Chinese New Year of the Ox, National Tortellini Day, World Bonobo Day. Happy Bonobo Day. You know, save the bonobos, the make love not war chimpanzees. And it's Lupercalia, and tonight you learned the story of Lupercalia, just in case you didn't know, and you might have known, but maybe you got a couple details you didn't know, or just enjoyed hearing the crack of the whip, and the howl of the wolf, the coming of spring. The racing of the hormones that tell us, yay, it's time to fall in lust. Lust is always better than greed. And sometimes lust leads to love. That's the best kind, anyway. I might be prejudiced, though. Some people, they just fall in love. They never have lust. But I think it's good to start with a good foundation of lust. So, that's what Lusty Lupercalia is all about.
And so, another thing Soldier said, he said, it's Single Awareness Day.
Single Awareness Day.
Which is very interesting, because he's right. It's like, it makes a lot of people remember, like, oh,
okay.
I'm
not sure how to take that. I guess it's another day that we
single,
have to
ready
add
to mingle.
The list.
Ready to mingle.
Yeah, ready to mingle. It means I'm available.
Yep.
So, cool. Single Awareness Day. That's the day before Valentine's Day or the day of Valentine's Day?
He said it today, so I don't know what that means. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow.
It's today. The day of Valentine's Day. And if you're listening live... We are now moving past midnight Pacific time, Bonoboville time, into the actual high holiday of love. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Lupercalia. So, yeah, it's that day. So if you're single, you know, make love to the one that you'll love the longest of your life, yourself. And if you need a little help, well, the Therapists Without Borders of the Dr. Susan Block Institute are here for you throughout Valentine's Day and beyond. And since Valentine's Day is based on Lupercalia, which is really all about a sex worker, heroine, who saves the heroes. She's a sex worker, Lupa. Then don't feel bad about going to a sex worker one way or another, as long as you pay, on Valentine's Day. It's not like this is a day when the romance has to be a certain way. What I guess I'm saying is enjoy sensuality any which way you can. That is what this day should be. Not just about a certain kind of love, which is great, but not everybody has it, and it's not always working. It's very delicate. So, you know, you might want something else. And that's okay. And by the way, the handbook of Lupercalia really is available on Dr. Block's Pleasure Shop, which is Spankin' Art Speakeasy Journal.
Yeah. The journals are printed 100 at a time because they're very expensive. They're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful.
Hand printed.
Well, I don't know.
Sort of. Somebody's hand picked them up at a certain point. Anyway, they're too hot for Amazon,
right.
So we had to print them ourselves.
Right.
Because they're spanking in all different states of nudity and not, you know, right. Outfits and. You see genitalia.
One of them is $75, the other one is $100. Then you have to add $5 art tax.
Art tax.
Yeah.
That's for our cousin Art.
Yeah. Our cousin Art should be getting a little money.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready to wind it up?
Yeah, go
do
to
you
our...
Do more to say?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go.
I love you.
I love you, too. I like this thing I made for you. It says here, I love you, Susie Block. Will you be my Valentine?
Oh, yes, I will.
Thank you.
You know, celebrating Lupercalia World Bonobo Day, it all makes me appreciate Valentine's Day even more. Because you need the freedom from Valentine's Day to enjoy it. Anyway, I love you.
And I love you. And we love you.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.